Good evening, good evening. It is 6:01, and it's time for CU Progressive News, which is going to bring you headlines on new labor law regarding overtime that will affect many workers, and an update on the Illinois government's funding of social service agencies, as well as other details of progressive events happening in the area. The feature story tonight covers the groundbreaking of the new Kickapoo Rail Trail, which is a bike and hiking trail that will ultimately be a path from Urbana to Vermilion County. The in-studio guest is Steve Rugg, chair of the Champaign County Design and Conservation Society. All right, so you are listening to CU Progressive News, which will air on Mondays during the WEFT Extended Courier from 6 to 7 p.m. through July. You're listening on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming online at weft.org. With your help, we will sustain this show through the summer and then transition it to a half-hour show three times per week when the Friday Forum show comes off hiatus in the fall. We're laying the groundwork to emulate other successful community radio stations that most often have daily local news programming. CU Progressive News will integrate a progressive calendar and investigative journalism with a bent toward local, progressive, social justice, and political matters. We are affiliated with and indebted to The Public Eye, which is a program of the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center. The Public Eye is a local online and print newspaper and will be a primary source of news stories. We're indebted to WEFT and its members, donors, and board of directors for providing the infrastructure and who, for 35 years, have provided the infrastructure for public affairs programming in Champaign-Urbana. A video of this program can be seen on Thursday nights at 10 p.m. on UPTV, as well as on UPTV's YouTube channel. Hello, UPTV. We soon intend to be airing the programming on WRFU, Low Power Radio, that is housed at the UCIMC, and on WBXC, a low power TV station as well, for those who have rabbit ears and no cable. We also intend to make the Progressive Calendar an affiliated project that both feeds the CU Progressive News and is also available in updated, ongoing various forms in print, on air, and online. You can help make CU Progressive News a reality in large or small ways. Use the email weft90.1@gmail.com to send any story ideas or calendar events. Or if you have 30 minutes or more on a weekly basis to help organize the Progressive Calendar, or if you have any media skills or want to learn about making media. I'm Sandra Auten, and this is CU Progressive News. All right. Just getting some things a little bit organized here. So first I'm going to tell you about these headlines and announcements. State Senator Carol Ammon's office is hosting some sessions that are called People's Potluck, so we can get to know our neighbors, learn about the rich legacy of local victories for equity and justice, and also strategize to build political power in CU. The goal is to build community while realigning the local elected officials, boards, commissions, and policies to reflect a people's agenda that supports our safety net programs, addresses institutionalized oppression, and gives a voice and power to the most marginalized community members. Please join State Representative Carol Ammon's Danielle Chenoweth for the third community conversation, focusing on ways to engage in the local political process. That's going to be on June 11th at the Channing Murray Foundation. I think it'll be from 4 to 6 p.m. And there's a planning meeting this Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. at Carol Ammon's office at the corner of 4th and University.
Counseling Group has 35 counselors providing mental health services for individuals, families, couples, children, and groups. Evening and weekend appointments are often available immediately. Virtually all insurance, including state employee insurance, is accepted. There is also a self-pay sliding scale. You can contact Kevin Elliott or his staff at ElliottCounselingGroup.com. This is ELLIOTT counselinggroup.com or 217-398-9066. WEFT is sponsored in part by our community partner, Jet's Pizza. Jet's stores prepare dough fresh daily and use only premium ingredients. The quality is in the taste. Jet's Pizza Champagne stores are located at the corner of Neal Street and Green, 217-352-3333, and Springfield and Mattis, 217-352-9992. Or you can order online at jetspizza.com.
All right. Some underwriting announcement though there from our sponsors. You are listening to CU Progressive News. I wanted to report on the funding of Illinois social service agencies, which we've been following. A bill to send $700 million to cash-starved social service providers breezed through the Illinois legislature last Thursday as the state once again turned to a stopgap funding measure in lieu of a budget. The measure passed the House 111-0 and the Senate 56-0. There was no immediate comment from Rauner's office on whether he will sign it into law. I haven't heard whether he did or not. A memo from his budget office expressed concerns that language in the bill could actually prevent funding for some programs. Democratic State Representative Greg Harris said the money would be taken from state funds outside of the Illinois General Revenue Fund to cover 46% of what the state has failed to pay service providers due to the ongoing impasse over the fiscal 2016 budget. And we also know that they had signed a $600 million stopgap funding bill for state universities, community colleges, and student tuition grants that covered only 34% of the $1.7 billion that had been earmarked for higher education spending in the fiscal year that began on July 1st. So we are still dealing with that whole issue of no budget and a failing state. But in the meantime, Obama has brought some new legislation, I guess you would call it legislation, for overtime rules. And Vicki reported on this last hour on Disability Beat Radio about how it would affect home care workers. But the bottom line is that President Obama signed a memorandum that extends overtime pay protection to over 4 million workers within the first year of implementation. And the key provisions are that if you are a salaried worker and are not going to be getting overtime for your work, then your wage needs to be at least $913 per week or $47,476 annually for a full year worker. That sets the standard salary level at the 40th percentile of earnings of full-time salaried workers in the lowest wages census region, which is currently the South. So this is kind of a big deal, and our local Chamber of Commerce sent out information about it. Obviously, they are very pro-small business, which means they're fighting this legislation. I guess you would call it legislation if the president is signing it in, but it's not going through Congress, so I'm not sure exactly how that works. It was announced by Obama and Secretary Perez of the Labor Department. So it's the Labor Department's final ruling updating the overtime legislation. So we'll be following that story as it affects many people who are salaried employees, and will they be, their wages divided into an hourly and then have to pay overtime for anything they work over. It certainly affects even WEFT, as we're considering how to at some point have our station manager back and what kind of a wage we'll be paying them. And obviously, if we're expecting them to work on a salary, it would be more than $47,000 a year now. So, all right. So I'm going to also wanted to give you some information about an event that's coming up that's kind of interesting at the Independent Media Center. Then I'm going to introduce my guest, which is we're going to talk all about bicycling and the Kickapoo Rail Trail. And after we end that conversation, then I'll give you a bunch of information about upcoming bike events. May is biking month, and across the country, actually, and here locally, and there's a lot of things going on biking-wise. But first, this one last announcement that I wanted to tell you about, event called the Miss Education of Hip Hop. It's going to be located at the this event at the Independent Media Center, which is in downtown Urbana at the old post office. It's going to be all the way from June 6th to June 10th for 13 to 8-year-olds from 2 to 4 p.m. It's a workshop that teaches the elements of hip hop and applies it to our community as a vehicle for social justice, a resource for knowledge, and a constant exchange of critical thought. They aim to organize, engage, and explore the creative genius of our youth through hip-hop culture and its relationship to our past, present, and future. The workshop is open to high school and middle school students ages 13 to 18, inclusive of all backgrounds and experiences. Each group of students will create a project that will serve as a solution and or voice to the subject they feel most connected to. They will be given time to collaborate with professional artists who will teach something they may know. Mother Nature, as a collective network of MCs, writers, DJs, dancers, painters, designers, educators, engineers, and activists, is who they will be working with. They can facilitate students' learning as they delve deeper into their own identities and produce fresh ideas to share with the collective thought through the use of media, instruments, technology, recording equipment, resources, and professional expertise. Mother Nature is a non-for-profit organization formed to provide community outreach grounded in hip-hop scholarship and performance with a focus on the youth. So that's on June 6th through the 10th from 2 to 4 p.m., and I'm just trying to see where you might get more information on that. I think you can go to the UCIMC website. That's ucimc.org, and check it out there. So I'm going to introduce now my guest, Steve Rugg. Hello, Steve.
Hi.
Why don't you scoot a little bit around here so we can make sure you're on camera, too. There you go. Say hi to the UPTV audience.
Hello,
That's right. So Steve is with the Champaign County CCDC, Champaign County
Design and Conservation Foundation.
I'm going to read just a little bit about that and then about their mission statement, and then we'll just jump right in. So in 1964, nearly 150 civic leaders and local officials gathered to assess Champaign County's environmental future. What these leaders discovered became a cause for immediate concern. Unplanned growth, rapid urbanization, reduction of prime farmland, and loss of urban trees from the ravages of Dutch elm disease. As a result was a negative impact on local natural and cultural resources. An independent volunteer organization was needed to assist in halting these threats and preserving the environment of Champaign County, resulting in the formation of CCDC Foundation. Today, that foundation continues the tradition of conserving, restoring, and enhancing our natural resources. They initiate and support a wide variety of coordinated and supportive programs to improve the quality of life in both urban and rural environments. Their mission statement: improve the livability of the environment of Champaign County while focus on public and private efforts to conserve, restore, and enhance the local environment. Special attention is given to providing a balance between developed areas with open space, including recreational parks, greenways and trails, woodlands, prairie, wetlands, rivers and stream corridors, and other natural resources. Wow. I did. How did I not know about you? This is, I was really amazed. So I was at the groundbreaking of the Kickapoo Rail Trail yesterday, which we will certainly talk about. But what, you know, once I heard them say there that three foundations were involved, and then they named yours, and I thought, I don't know that foundation.
Well,
speak close.
Yes. Well, we're sort of operating quietly in the background, and have been doing that, as you just read, for a little over 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
We have done a variety of things to repopulate, reforest Champaign County. We have acquired property and held it for other governmental agencies, park districts in particular, when they want to create a new park,
mm-hmm.
But don't quite have the resources right away. So we've done that sort of thing. And then about 1995 or six, a group of our board members got really interested in the opportunity to convert an abandoned railroad line,
mm-hmm.
Into a trail.
Mm-hmm.
The whole rails to trails movement was burgeoning at the time. And there have been some other efforts in Champaign County, the Heartland Pathways activity, which
mm-hmm.
perhaps your listeners and viewers know something about.
Yeah, absolutely. Dave Monk's organization.
Mr. Monk is a person here. Our organization was able to secure a rail banking lease of the property.
Okay, a rail banking lease.
There's a federal program called rail banking, which permits abandoned railroad properties to be converted into recreational trails and that sort of thing, with the understanding that if for some reason the railroads eventually decide they could use that corridor for rail traffic, they can have it back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They must reimburse all of the costs for development for the trail. Most of our assessments indicated that it would be unlikely
mm-hmm.
that this 24.5-mile stretch of abandoned railroad property would ever rise to the prominence of being reconverted,
mm-hmm.
but that's part of the deal here,
and that's called banking.
That's rail banking.
Rail banking.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So we got a lease. It was never our intent that we operate a trail. We understood that we were a small foundation, that our interests were in recapturing the use of this land. It's interesting in, to some degree that the land's never been farmed. It's never been worked because it's been a rail corridor.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
the right-of-way has some reasonably interesting flora and fauna involved. And then just providing the recreational opportunities. Because the property goes all the way through Champaign County into Vermilion County, all the way right up to Kickapoo State Park, we were able to get the Vermilion County Conservation District involved. And, again, importantly, the state of Illinois. The Department of Natural Resources has been a longtime partner in this activity. And now, with the trail in hand, the Champaign County Forest Preserve District will own the Champaign County piece. The Vermilion Conservation District will own the Vermilion County piece, except for the trestle that crosses the Salt Fork of the Vermilion River, which the state of Illinois will own. So,
And is that located in Kickapoo?
It's located approximately in Kickapoo, yes. It's about, the trestle itself is maybe a mile from Kickapoo State Park.
Yeah, if you're driving on 74, you'll see it over on the right-hand side.
Or if you're driving on 150, you can see it. Yeah, 150 parallels the 74 for a good portion of the trail. And frankly, this, again, some of the folks who know the history of Champaign County, this also tracks pretty closely the old interurban railroad route.
Right. So actually, I have some information on the interurban just so we can kind of get the whole big picture with it, what's going on. But let's just describe the fact that you already alluded to, that it's going to be from Urbana to Kickapoo.
Right.
It's 26 miles.
24.5. If you're counting.
Okay. You are when you're on a bike. Sometimes that last mile can be the real kicker. And it's going to be a trail that goes where the railroad used to go. So there's a lot of work to be done to make it into a – it's going to be a limestone.
Crushed limestone with some asphalt at when you cross grade, cross roads. There's another railroad crossing in there as well. So, yes.
And it's going to be for bikes and hikers.
Yes.
It won't be equestrian or is
– No, no equestrian, equestrian activity and no motorized activity.
And you broke ground this week, and that is – really, it started, right?
Well, it has. It has. And I don't want to bore your socks off, but just getting to this point, I think I said earlier that about 1995 or 96, and here we are just now getting to it. There's lots of stories to tell, but I do want really to commend the board of commissioners of the Forest Preserve District
of the
Champaign County Forest Preserve District. We secured the trail, we own the trail. We bid the first phase of construction, and the project bids came in higher than expected. That's not a good thing for boards that have to watch carefully over taxpayer dollars, over grant dollars, over all of their resources.
Now, that bid, was that for that first 6 miles that you were talking about?
That's the phase one in Champaign County. Back up just a minute. For the planning of the whole trail, we right now have 6 different segments for construction.
Okay.
3 from Kickapoo Park westward through Vermilion County, 3 from essentially the Walmart in Urbana eastward through Champaign County. So Champaign County Phase 1 is a 6.2-mile stretch that will run to the middle of St. Joe.
I like the visual, whatever, of Main Street in Urbana to Main Street.
Main Street in Urbana to Main Street in St. Joe. And that trail runs right through St. Joe and right through downtown. The fact that the Forest Preserve District Board of Commissioners was willing to step up and approve a project that was over budget really was the final piece of getting a visible demonstrable mm-hmm. Piece of trail that folks can see, can ride on, mm-hmm. can walk mm-hmm. on.
So really, the rest of it isn't fully funded right now.
Well,
go ahead.
Let's mm-hmm. let's work on that.
All
there
right.
is there is grant funding and matching money mm-hmm. for Vermilion County Phase One.
Okay.
There was a point, perhaps last November or December, when we actually thought that piece would be the first out of the box.
Okay.
But as you read in your news report a little while ago, uh-huh. The state of Illinois has got some budget issues.
Yeah, we do.
And there's about a $600,000 piece of that Vermilion County Phase 1 project that resides in the Department of Natural Resources. That budget's impounded right now. We could not move the project bidding ahead, pulled the bids, shifted to Champaign 1, got the bids, and we're ready to go.
Okay. So, well, let's talk about how much it does cost, because, man, it is quite a pricey little project.
Well, it will cost between $8 and $10 million.
Total.
In total.
And right. that's including the acquisition of the land and the pavement.
That 8 to 10 is what we're looking at for the development mm-hmm. of the trail. We paid about $1.3 million to acquire the property.
Okay. And again, I just want to be clear on that. So then, even though you said that this portion is owned by the Champaign County Forest Preserve and this portion is owned by the Vermilion County, and then there's that little part that the state of Illinois, it still is all leased, right?
Yes. So yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. The rail bank lease is for the entire project.
Uh-huh. And is it indefinite, forever? I mean, like
for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, whenever they want to do
well,
it.
Well, if the unlikely happens,
yeah.
And somebody wants to put a high-speed rail corridor uh-huh. between...
Well, let me ask you this. Is that typical of rail trails?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Standard procedure.
Yeah. And just to explain to our listeners, you know, I've listened to Dave Monk talk about this some. So how important that was to him, I know, that because of the fact that in some, you know, far off future, ideal, we might not be able to have our cars. And we might not all be able to go by bikes and on foot. So, you know, to just to be future oriented, to think if we need to reacquire that in order to run rails, which, you know, we in the United States have such a poor rail system compared to other countries, compared to Europe.
Right. And really the rail banking, the beauty of the rail banking opportunity, it really gives the railroad some reassurance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they own the property.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to give it to us. They don't have to sell it to us.
Uh-huh.
They can hang on to it.
Uh-huh.
And absent the opportunity for rail banking, you know, the railroad's going to say, wait a minute, we got it. We're going to keep it. And
well,
I'm sorry it's deteriorating, you know,
yeah.
but there it is.
Yeah. So it's interesting, though, because why does the eminent domain not come into play there? Why couldn't they take a passage, I wonder, just from a railroad? Which railroad owned it, by the way?
Great question, actually. When we started this project, Conrail
mm-hmm.
owned the property.
Mm-hmm.
The CCDC attorney, the late John Gwynn, negotiated carefully and forcefully, and our files have a letter from Conrail to John Gwynn saying, okay, it's our intention to donate this entire 24.5-mile stretch of land to CCDC for creation.
Oh, I bet that was a happy day.
That was a happy day.
And then?
Within a couple of weeks after that very happy day, Conrail went out of business. The property in question was acquired. Their holdings were split up between Norfolk Southern and CSX. The CSX Rail Corporation acquired this 24.5-mile stretch of abandoned railroad. And we sort of fell off the table.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, with the acquisition.
What year was that?
That would have been about 97,
mm-hmm.
98.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, CSX had many, 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 many priorities other than dealing with abandoned rail lines.
mm-hmm.
CSX took the position that they never gave anything away. So our hope, and frankly, our initial fundraising efforts told people if they'll make a donation, it'll help the development of the trail. We had to sort of go back and say, well, development after acquisition. It took a long time to get CSX to the table. The real estate people took what we at least perceived to be a hard line. We were fortunate through a couple of connections. We got some help from the Chicago branch of CSX. Long story short, we agreed on a price, had an appraised price, got a grant, got some matching money, and acquired the trail.
Mm-hmm. And all the while was... were you working on that from both ends? Were you working on that from the Vermilion County end, or who was working on it from that end?
Well, I would say CCDC carried mm-hmm. the load mm-hmm. For negotiations, certainly closely working with the Forest Preserve District and the Vermilion County mm-hmm. Conservation mm-hmm. District. And one of the interesting things, at least interesting to me, you know, the Champaign County Forest Preserve over the last 20 years has been, has seen new board members come.
Yeah, sure, I'm sure.
new executive directors. Ironically, the executive director who was in place in Vermilion County is still in place.
Is that right?
A gentleman named Ken Consis. He was there yesterday uh-huh. and had a big grin on his face. And, you know, I may actually get to walk on this, my part of the trail. But the kudos to the Forest Preserve staff, to their board, for sustaining the priority for this activity. It's going to be, I think, a hallmark for the Forest Preserve District. Their foundation has really jumped in to the fundraising side of it. It's really a very, very nice, probably not the best word. It's really a very effective example of public and private activities working together. You've got intergovernmental cooperation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You've got cross-county cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the county and the state working
mm-hmm.
together.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor of St. Joe has been a longtime supporter of this. The mayor of Oakwood
mm-hmm.
Was there yesterday
mm-hmm.
and is a supporter.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't always the case,
no.
I might add. I don't know how much history you want to talk about, but initially, some of the small towns didn't see an economic development opportunity. Some of the residents are kind of scratching their heads about, well, who are these people that ride bikes on trails? You know, what are we getting into
here?
Yeah. CCDC worked closely with the Farm Bureau. Actually brought the executive director of the Farm Bureau onto our board. And over time, by answering questions and sharing information about other trails,
mm-hmm.
I think if we haven't turned everybody in favor of the trail, there certainly is the preponderance of support for the trail.
Nice, nice. That's really good to hear because, you know, in public service, sometimes it's just amazing. It's an amazing story, really, about, you know, the cooperation that it has taken and the tenacity that you have shown.
Well, perseverance, inertia sometimes sets in and mm-hmm. It's like the proverbial dog with a bone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You just keep after it.
Well, you mentioned all the agencies, and then you were talking about public-private, too. So there's lots of people who have given already.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of private individuals who have made donations.
Oh, yes, indeed. Many, in fact, most of the grants that we've gotten require a private match or a match of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
We've had very generous support both from the corporate side and from individuals. We're not done yet.
Right. I was going to say, you might want to mention
anybody out there who would like to make a contribution, we would love to hear from you.
The website is Kickapoo Trail, railtrail.org.
Yes. Yes.
KICKAPOO, Kickapoo, railtrail.org.
And you can get there from that one. You can get there from the Forest Preserve website. There's a link there, and all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. So trail features traverse some of the most diverse ecosystems in this part of the state, including woodland, prairie, and wetland. Trailheads will be developed near several communities along the route to provide parking and public access to the trail. Scenic areas with benches and educational interpretive signs will offer rest stops for cyclist hikers. So I'm a big rail trail biker myself.
Well,
I've been on the Katy Trail, which goes all the way almost from St. Charles near St. Louis to Kansas City.
You remind me that while I've talked a lot about the governmental cooperation and private individuals, really need to give a shout out to the biking community.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that persistence, some of that perseverance that you mentioned a few minutes ago really comes from them.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping our shoulder to the wheel and all of that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There really is evidence of strong, strong grassroots support.
Right.
And CU Bikes and a variety. I shouldn't start naming them because I'll forget somebody. But a number of biking organizations, and in Vermilion County as well.
Mm-hmm.
If I dare say, I think the folks in Vermilion County were a little surprised at how popular the trail, the opportunity to bike on this trail has become.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, I also like to always point out to people having lived close to Vermilion County now myself for the last 20 years, but really not having appreciation for Vermilion County until the last like 5 years, once I started to really, actually, honest to God, once I went up in a balloon, I went up in a hot air balloon, and I'm like, where am I? It felt like it was just, it's this river, all these river networks, and you know, this unglaciated area.
Right.
It's really a total different landscape over there.
It's quite different. The Kickapoo State Park, Kennecuck County Park,
just north of there.
There's another one just east.
East. I'll think of it too.
That's great for bird watching
And hiking.
It's just terrific.
It is.
It's just a terrific opportunity.
It is. And to link us with that through this bike trail. And I think it will be beautiful. I mean, there's a lot of trees already there. You're going to be hitting the Salt Fork a couple of different times.
Right.
At least you hit it in St. Joe.
Right.
And
and there's Champaign County Soil and Water Conservation District is developing wetlands there in St. Joe. That Champaign County Phase One, that 6.2 miles is just at least, you know, you're a biker.
Mm-hmm.
I own a bike.
Uh-huh.
But 6.2 miles, I can go out there and probably get back.
Yeah.
And it really will be a nice ride. It's a beautiful spot when you get there.
Uh-huh.
Stop in downtown St. Joe.
Absolutely.
And an ice cream cone or a beverage of your choice. Have lunch.
Absolutely.
Have breakfast. You know, there are all kinds of things you can do.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it will actually be a nice, I think St. Joe will benefit from it in terms of people going over for the day and for the evening, whatever. You can ride 6 miles in a half hour or so.
Certainly the research that the Rails to Trails people have done and lots of others have done would indicate that there's an economic development component here that really will be advantageous.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just throw in the recreational opportunities, the health and fitness opportunities, the preservation and sort of reconfiguration of the prairie scape. It's a good project for a whole variety of reasons.
It sure is. Well, I've been talking to Steve Rugg here. He's with the Champaign County Design and Conservation Society, one of the three foundations that are part of making the Kickapoo Rail Trail a reality. It's been in the works in some form or another since about 1995. And this is 2016. And so the persistence, the tenacity that's going to make this happen, and we're going to be able to see that first six Miles, sometime next year it's going to be completed. Is that right?
Well, Dan, the executive director of the Forest Preserve District, Dan Olson, was did a wise thing. Mm-hmm. He said July of 17 yesterday.
Uh-huh.
So my assessment of that date is that he built in some more time for something else to go wrong, bad weather, whatever. You know, we had some hope at one point that it could be finished yet this calendar year. We didn't get quite as fast a start as we'd hoped with the bidding mm-hmm, issue and mm-hmm, all of those kinds mm-hmm. of things. So for planning purposes, yeah, we ought to think about early 17. We'll see what develops.
We'll see how we can break that in. Thank you so much for being my guest
my pleasure.
Today. Good.
Thank you.
I can let you out, and I'm going to finish with my show here. You're listening to CU Progressive News. CU Progressive News is a here we go. It's going to air right now during WEF's extended career from 6 to 7 p.m. on Mondays through July, when with your help, we will sustain it through the summer and then transition to a half-hour show three times per week when the Friday Forum show comes off a hiatus in the fall. We are welcoming our new audience of UPTV viewers, as well as UPTV's YouTube channel, and soon we'll be airing also on WRFU. Wanted to tell you more about some biking activities, and then later on I'm going to be turning it over to CU Radio Theater at 7 p.m. and going to the WEFT Board of Directors meeting, which is held at 44 East Main Street here in downtown Champaign. The public is welcome, and certainly all WEFTs are welcome. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. We're talking about how we are managing ourselves, and we got a lot of things to discuss, and we welcome public input, and we welcome openness and diversity as well. That is going to be available for later listening. It's going to be recorded as well. All right. Well, that was great having Steve Rugg in here from the Kickapoo Rail Trail. Next week, my guest is going to be Cindy Shepherd, who works with faith-based environmental groups. So she is a liaison. I should get more information on that soon, but she's a liaison between faith-based groups and taking care of Mother Earth. What could be more in line with being faith-based? So I wanted to tell you about some things that are going on bicycling-wise, and then we will wrap it up just a little bit early with some music, and then again, radio theater at 7, when I will be at the board meeting by then. Let me tell you about Tour de Fruit. This is a bicycle ride to learn about food foraging in Champaign-Urbana. Service berries, plums, persimmons, pawpaws, grapes, gooseberries, raspberries, and the occasional forgotten apple tree. All these and more are growing in your neighborhood. Join the Tour de Fruit this Saturday, May 28th at 3 p.m. to learn about the edible landscape of Champaign-Urbana. Bikers will be visiting trees around town, discussing foraging in CU, and planting a tree together. Everyone is welcome, and this free inclusive event will be starting the ride at Neutral Cycle, which is at the corner of Green and Fifth. Arrive early for a quick bike tune-up. The Prairie Cycle Club, PCC, is a not-for-profit social group for bicyclists in Champaign and adjacent counties in Illinois. They serve a variety of bicyclists, including beginner riders, recreational riders, touring cyclists, long-distance riders, and commuters. On May 18th, they are going to be observing a ride of silence at 7 p.m. to remember those injured or killed due to unsafe riding situations and raise awareness that bicycles and cars can share the road. Part of an annual worldwide event, a silent, slow-paced 8-mile ride leaving from the parking lot just east of the I-Hotel, that's the corner of First and St. Mary's, south of the State Farm Center, to traverse through downtown Champaign and Urbana, and after the ride, socialize with them at Crane Alley in downtown Urbana. That's on May. Oh my gosh, I missed it. I'm so sorry about that. I've tried to check my dates more closely than that. Excuse me on that. All right, but I do have something, a couple of other things that I do see are definitely in the future. One is Bicycle Film Night. Bicycle film shorts will be shown starting at 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday, May 31st, and then a feature-length award-winning documentary called Bikers vs. Cars begins at 6:30. There is a small admission charge. And to plan a little bit farther out, on Saturday, August 27th, there is a See You Across the Prairie ride. That's the Prairie Cycle Club's annual cycling-sponsored ride, which coincides with downtown Urbana's Sweet Corn Festival. The ride options are anywhere from 15 to 100 miles. Starts with a bagel breakfast. Pre-registrations entered in a drawing for bicycle-related prizes. And there are snack stops and SAG vehicle supports. So check out the Prairie Club, which is prairiecycleclub.org. Prairiecycleclub, all one word, .org. So what else? Champaign County Bikes is a group of citizens working together to make Champaign County the most bicycle-friendly county in the Midwest. The CCB website includes a calendar, routes, links to useful information, articles, and even a few photos in the gallery. So you'll want to look at Champaign County Bikes. And the Bike Project of Urbana-Champaign is a co-op which offers space, tools, and a community to repair bikes, share knowledge, hold classes, and advocate for bikes and bicyclists in Champaign-Urbana. Locations are in downtown Urbana and on Pennsylvania Street on campus. The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associates, station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated. What else do we need to tell you today before we take a break? It is 6:47, and you have been listening to CU Progressive News. You know, one thing I didn't talk about that I will just briefly go over in the few minutes that I have left is a couple of other biking-related things, but I also wanted to just talk about the interurban. I pulled something off of a website called explorecu.org that talked about the interurban, and I really do want to think about the interurban, that is the rail line that ran between Champaign, Urbana, and Danville that started back in 1903, and really kind of a tip of the hat to Dave Monk, who helps keep us aware of the great possibilities that are still present with regard to rails, and to make sure that we know that it's not an out-of-the-question thing that we may indeed have more rails again sometime. Okay, so I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but I wanted to just I'm looking at the May CU Bike Month calendar and want to say that on the 24th, that's tomorrow, Tuesday at 5 p.m., there's a pop-up bike workstation at the Shipyard in downtown Urbana. So if you go to the Shipyard, that's that little new outdoor beer garden that's right in front of the Courier, you might say, or right across from Busey Bank, you could go there at 5 p.m. and help get your bike tuned up. That would be very nice. Don't forget about the Tour de Fruit Ride, which is 3 p.m. on Saturday the 28th. And 7 p.m. on the 31st is when the Bikes versus Car movie is, although I saw that started. I saw a couple of different things online. One said it was at 5:30 when it starts, and then 6:30 when the shorts start, and then I think 7 o'clock is when the film Bikes versus Cars start, and that Bikes versus Cars will have a small admission charge at the door at our beautiful Art Co-op Theater in downtown Champaign. So it is 6:49. Take a few minutes to read this about the interurban for you, and then I'm going to rush off to the board meeting and turn it over to Champaign Urbana Radio Theater. Okay, the interurban. When Champaign Urbana's electricity magnate William McKinley had the idea in the late 1890s to connect some of the larger cities in central and southern Illinois together by rail, he ran into some opposition both locally and from surrounding cities. Compared to Chicago and some of the other cities in Illinois, Champaign-Urbana was small. In 1903, the population was just 17,000 for the Twin Cities combined, whereas Danville was 24,000. At the turn of the century. At the time, it was uncertain whether an interurban rail connecting two medium-sized cities and the small towns in between would be used and if it would be profitable. Land was sought from the farmers along the route of construction. McKinley decided to plan the route running just south of the Peoria and Eastern Line, the P&E, that had been created in 1866. The reasoning behind this was that the interurban line could use the P&E line for right-of-way, where two trains headed toward each other that normally occupy a single track can pass safely. Some of the farmers realized that they could use the interurban to sell meats, crops, milks, and other farm commodities to bigger cities and gifted the land to the project. Others decided to sell their land to the project. The highest bid for the purchased land prior to construction of the railroad was $1.50 an acre. Well, a little bit of change from the $1.2 million they had to pay for that these days. Construction was done almost entirely by local men. Work began at both destinations, Urbana and Danville, and met in the middle. The construction officially began at the courthouse in Urbana, where lines were already in place from the local streetcars and just west of the public square in Danville. The entire track, 34.1 miles, 11 miles were formerly public highway, an old wagon road, and the rest were cleared to put down tracks. The cost of the venture, about $15,220 per mile a track, totaling $517,500. Not included in this figure are the two splits in the track that headed to the coal yards. These coal yards would become important for later use for Illinois traction. The construction of the rail line was quick, in fact, a little too hasty. Once it was completed, engineers realized that there were 61 curves in the track that would be uncomfortable for riders if it taken at a cruising speed of 40 miles per hour, and therefore cars would have to run slower. The track would eventually be straightened after the interurban line opened, but it would be a costly venture for Illinois traction in later years. So that was in 1903. By 1905, just 2 years after the first interurban ran from Urbana to Danville, the Illinois Traction owned six passenger cars of varying length, 23 coal cars, and several construction cars. Four passenger cars made regular runs, and the goal was that at least one interurban would stop at each terminal every hour. Terminals were located in Champaign, Urbana, St. Joe, Ogden, Fithian, Oakwood, and finally Danville. For the first few years, the railroad was averaging an income of $120,000 per year and served about 51,000 people. By 1930, approximately eight cars ran between Champaign, Urbana, and Danville per day. So, do I want to tell you more about that? Let's see. With the slow decline of the Illinois Terminal, passenger service began to lessen, and the last electric urban interurban to provide passenger service to Champaign came through in 1955. Shortly after passenger service ended, the entire length of railroad track east of Urbana, including the line to the Danville and the splits to the coal mines, were removed. Since the Illinois Terminal Railroad was running long after the local streetcar service ended in 1936, most of the rail lines used to get through the two cities were never removed and can sometimes be seen during road construction. And now, of course, will be totally outed and made part of the beautiful Kickapoo Rail Trail that is being currently built, starting with the first phase between Main Street in Urbana and Main Street in St. Joe. This has been Sandra Auten with the CU Progressive News, which does air here on WEFT on Mondays during the extended courier from 6 to 7 p.m. through July, and who may be able to go longer than that. If we get your help, you can email me at weft90.1fm@gmail.com. Now we're going to listen to an interlude of music by Kevin Elliott while we move on to radio theater.
Say violets are blue. I say roses are too, filtered through the summer moonlight at midnight, sipping my blue wine. It's a habit of mine. And the air is sweet and dark. Alone in the park, where the stray dogs bark their warning, and morning is hours away. Almost another day, and I laugh a little, cry a little more. That's what it's for. By myself at last, just me and my past, seen it all before. And I call on my beauties and bums, creeping Charlie comes, always picking a fight. And what an appetite, can't keep him at bay, and now he's taking it all away. Another day, when the bough breaks, who falls? Maybe no one at all. It's just a call to the unawakened, mistakenly counting sheep, fast asleep. That's when Charlie creeps to your door, and you laugh a little, cry a little more. That's what it's for. Getting under your skin, then you give in, just like before. And you call on your beauties and bums, creeping Charlie comes, always picking a fight. And what an appetite, can't keep him at bay, and now he's taking it all away. Maybe another day. Skin, then I give in, just like before. And I call on my beauties and bums, creeping Charlie comes, always picking a fight. And what an appetite, can't keep him at bay, and now he's taking it all away. Another day. They say roses are red, or maybe violets instead, but the night is blue. Guess I am too.
It's 7 o'clock and you're tuned to WEFT Champaign.